We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. We're part of the Blue Wire Network. I'm Ricky O'Donnell. As always, I'm here with Jason Pett. And Jason, today we're talking about the Bulls signing Goran Dragic, perhaps to their final roster move of the offseason. The Bulls now have 15 players. You're allowed to have 20 players during the offseason, so there is some more wiggle room for the Bulls, but I believe 15 guaranteed contracts as of right now. Dragic is the last guy on the roster as of this moment. So it's what, a 1 year, $2.9 million deal. Is that correct, Jason?
It's the minimum. I believe that's his minimum is like 3 million. I believe it is. They signed him to the minimum. They did not use more of the mid-level. I'm pretty sure.
And now the Bulls are right up against the luxury tax line, but of course are not paying the tax. I believe they still have $7.2 million remaining in the mid-level exception. The Bulls do not have a roster spot for a player to be signed into that. Of course, they could easily go on. They could waive Tony Bradley. They could try to move off Marko Simonovic, who, you know, still hasn't proven he can be an NBA player. He's taken up a guaranteed roster spot. So the Bulls definitely have some easy moves they can make to create a roster spot. But it sure seems like this is the plan, Jason, where pending a trade, possibly Kobe White going out, pending that actually happening, it looks like this is the roster right now. And we can continue to talk about, you know, what this roster looks like and how we feel about this overall offseason. But I guess let's start with Dragic. To me, it's a super disappointing signing because it's just another guard. They need some wings, and they've continually ignored wings. I don't think that Dragic has much left in the tank. I don't think he really checks the shooting box that they were aiming for this offseason. And to me, it's just sort of like a nothing signing. I think Dragic is pretty much washed. I hope I'm wrong about this, but monitoring his performance last season, watching him in the playoffs with Brooklyn, just doesn't seem like he has much left in the tank. So I wish it would have been a wing. I wish it would have been someone with a little upside. Instead, you got Dragic, who I'll Google his age right now.
He's 36, I believe. 35 or 36. Yeah,
36 years old. Really, like, no upside to his game. It brings more questions about the rotation in terms of, like, is Dragic actually getting minutes next year? Is he taking Kobe White's minutes? You know, they need wings, and they just signed another short guard. So I don't get it, man. I threw out the idea somewhat jokingly of signing Carmelo, and I think Carmelo would have been a much better signing than Dragic. At least you could see, like, how Carmelo slots into the roster as a big forward who can shoot threes and, you know, on spot-ups. Dragic just really does nothing for you, in my opinion. He was an excellent player as recently as the bubble. When he went down in the NBA Finals, he basically had no ability to compete with the Lakers, and it sure seemed like they might if Dragic was healthy. He was excellent throughout that postseason, but Since then, his game has slipped. Obviously, you know, 36, that's pretty old for an NBA player. So I find it to be pretty disappointing. If this is the end of the Bulls offseason, I would probably not give them an F because they re-signed Zach,
yeah,
but I
correct.
Would probably give them a D minus. Just really no ambition to try to improve the team. Definitely cared more about staying out of the luxury tax than they did making the team meaningfully better. I think it's a classic story of a Jerry Reinsdorf-owned franchise where, you know, all he wants to do is get back in the postseason. It doesn't matter if they leverage, you know, so many future first-round picks to build this roster. They had no true plan to try to meaningfully improve the roster this offseason. So I think it's super disappointing. Do you want to add a little sunshine and brightness to this conversation?
Because, I'm not going to say that. Like, if you look at this, if this is it, this offseason, as like Andre Drummond's taking Tony Bradley's spot / Tristan Thompson's spot, I guess taking Tristan Thompson's spot on the team is Tony Bradley is still here. Why? I mean, as you said, it could easily dump him. And if you look at Goran Dragic taking like Matt Thomas's roster spot, okay, the Bulls got like a little better there. Did they get meaningfully better? I would guess probably not. I mean, Drummond is fine for the regular season. He'll eat up some minutes. He's a big body. He's still a great rebounder. I don't really like watching him play. He can't really move. I know Stefano did this for both Dragic and Drummond to just kind of compile their minutes in the playoffs. Both guys who played for the Brooklyn Nets and I think started all the playoff games for the Nets in that sweep. I think what you can look at one reason why they got swept by the Nets. KD and Kyrie weren't great, but the rest of the roster also just sucked. And that's because you're starting with Andre Drummond and Goran Dragic in the playoffs. And that's why they got fucking wiped despite having KD and Kyrie there, even though they weren't that great either. They're fine as backups. They're fine. I wouldn't give a D minus. I think this re-signing Zach to his max lifts it up to probably like C minus or C around there. But again, like you said, not much ambition, just very lame, boring, no upside. The Dragic signing is just, I find it to be very bizarre unless they do have something else in the works. As you said, another guard, like something tells me that they promised him that he's going to be the backup point guard. You can argue that, you know, like Kobe, Caruso, Io, like aren't really natural point guards and Dragic is, and is like a facilitator, better facilitator, running of the offense guy. But like, If this was like Dragic of 3 years ago, 2-3 years ago, yeah, great, awesome, sounds great. But last year was very strange for him. He got traded to the Raptors and then like didn't play, and he like sat out a while. Got traded again, got bought out, went to the Nets, was awful with the Nets in the regular season, was a little better in the playoff series in terms of just like his scoring, but overall his numbers were awful last season. Do you assume that he'll maybe be a little better and a little closer to his Miami days with like, if he like with a full training camp with the team and he's like locked into the team here, maybe he'll bounce back a bit. Hopefully, I guess is what you can really hope for if you're the Bulls, but I am curious what they promised him to get him to sign here over. Like, I mean, all the hype was that he'd be playing with Luka with Dallas. I mean, maybe Dallas didn't actually want him, but with Dallas losing Brunson with the Luka and the Dragic Slovenian connection, everyone assumed that Dragic was playing there. So for him to sign with the Bulls over Dallas, assuming Dallas would have taken him, you have to assume the Bulls promised him like rotation minutes and possibly the backup point guard job. So if like Kobe is still here, if there are no other moves, Kobe, Io, Caruso, again, not necessarily like we've seen the Kobe point guard thing, not great. Io as the starting point guard, I thought was acceptable last year, and I probably would rather have him being the backup point guard this year. If you weren't doing anything else, I mean, you could still play Kobe as a backup point. He's okay. But DeMar is like the backup point at this point. You have Dalen Terry who can do some playmaking. We've talked about wanting Patrick Williams to take more playmaking duties. So is Dragic coming in here to just be the backup point guard? And then like, what are you going to do with the Caruso, Kobe, Io minutes? Like, yeah, how is that all getting divvied up if Dragic is coming here to play? I don't really want, like, Dragic isn't good enough anymore, at least from what we've seen, to take minutes over those guys. And like with the Kobe situation, like, are you like, they not going to trade Kobe? They were probably asking for a lot for him. Are you now then going to like limit his minutes and like his value just sinks even more? Just the whole thing just does not make that much sense to me, given the rest of the roster, how they could absolutely use a bigger wing. We saw Isaiah Roby got waived by the Thunder. He got claimed on waivers by the Spurs. That's not the Bulls' fault. The Spurs had a waiver priority, but that is the kind of guy he averaged like 10 points a game for the Thunder last year, shot over 40% from three, young, I think like 6'8", 6'9", wing. That would be a type of low risk, maybe a decent upside move that the Bulls could have made. They could have used their trade exception from the Daniel Tice trade exception. That's $5 million to get him. Again, he did not reach the Bulls in the waiver line, so unfortunately, they just missed out on him. That part wasn't their fault. But yeah, the Dragic signing is just weird to me. And it's just another, I mean, Drummond, Dragic, and then bringing back Derrick Jones Jr., just smacks of safe, boring, gar packs type thing. Like I said, I don't think it's bad. It just doesn't really seem to move them forward that much towards a championship when they could have maybe signed someone with a younger, with more upside, gives you better trade chips. Like Andre Drummond has no trade value and he has a player option. Derrick Jones Jr., I feel like very minimal trade value on these $3 million contracts. He also got a player option. We have Dragic on the minimum. Like these guys aren't really worth much in terms of trades. I don't know how much value they'll have on the court. Like I said, if you look at it as Dragic over Matt Thomas, yeah, Dragic is probably better. If you look at it as Drummond over Tristan Thompson, yeah, Drummond probably better than Tristan Thompson. But how much better? Again, Drummond was awful in the playoffs, got played off the court by the Celtics. I know he was starting and it would have been better as a backup, but I mean, he looked like he just didn't belong in that series. Dragic was a little better, but still, like he as like if he's playing like real minutes, like I don't, like he's an okay shooter, not great defense. He's clearly lost a step. Like if the Bulls do go, we've talked about going in all in on transition. Dragic obviously used to be a great transition player. Doesn't really have that as much. He's again lost a step. So it's just like it's just safe, boring, cheap, kind of lame offseason. Like I said, I don't think it's. I would hesitate to call it bad or off, but I would, I guess, kind of call it unacceptable for like not using the resources they did have. This Daniel Tice trade exception, and I believe it expires in a couple days. As of right now, we have to assume that's going to go unused. They have that $7 million of mid-level exception. I mean, maybe if they do keep that open, like in season, they use that to make a move of some kind. And then, like I said, they could waive Tony Bradley. They could stretch his contract. Perhaps if depending on what kind of move needs to be made, obviously some of that stuff gets prorated or it gets prorated when you use stuff like that in season. I don't know. Marko Simanović, we're on muscle watch with him. He apparently added 25 pounds. He's going to get some big summer league minutes coming up here this week. I would guess they have no plans on waiving him. They seem to really like him considering they gave him a 3-year contract, two of those years guaranteed. So they seem to really want to do something with him and hope he develops. But again, like right now, you're looking at the roster, you have Vooch, Drummond, Tony Bradley, and Marco. Like it's and Derrick Jones Jr., we talk about, like is almost better as a five. They have all these guys who are probably better at center. They have all these guards, and then they just have like no wings / big forwards besides like Patrick Williams. Because Javante is not big. They just don't have much. They still like don't have much, yeah, in terms of wings forwards. It was also interesting about the Dragic thing, how it was, I believe, was it KC? I can't remember who reported that Vooch apparently played a big role in recruiting Dragic to the Bulls. Also just kind of weird. Like I guess that tells you like I don't know if they just had no plans on moving on Vooch or if that was only for like a Gobert thing. I don't know. But using Vooch to recruit Dragic, again, also just kind of weird to me considering we don't really know Vooch's future. So yeah, overall, just kind of a weird roster right now. Weird offseason, weird roster. I guess that kind of keeps the theme of last season being weird. And they're just going to be relying on their internal development. We saw Casey tweet earlier today about how they just have so much faith in Patrick Williams taking a huge leap. And I know we've talked on and on about Pat and what we think about him. And like, I mean, God bless him. Hope they're right. Pat seems like a good kid, good dude. I really hope that he ends up being way better than I think. But that's a lot to put on him next season as a guy who's never really been a plus NBA player yet. If they keep Coby White, again, it seemed like they were asking a lot for him. You better hope Coby White takes a step forward, finds more consistency. You hope Io gets better. But again, if you're hoping on those young guys, then what's going on with Dragic in his minutes? It all just is really weird to me. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, like you could talk yourself into Dragic being an improvement over Matt Thomas, sure, but like that roster spot should not be factoring into the team's success. And if you're talking about like, all right, the Bulls built this team that was on top of the conference 71% of the way through the season. When everyone started getting hurt, they fell apart. I understand the idea of not wanting to make like a super bold trade, like moving off Patrick Williams, moving off Vooch. You know, you could see the logic in that, even though I would have been for a more aggressive approach of just like, you know, trying to add as much talent, whatever way you can. But trying to upgrade the Matt Thomas and Tristan Thompson roster spots and then not doing anything else, like that's just insulting to me. What it keeps coming back to is that it's not that the Bulls don't want to pay the luxury tax, like just give the money, is that they want to collect the money from the teams that are paying it. And I just think that's so pathetic when you own the Chicago Bulls and you're going to tell yourself, okay, we can't get Isaiah Hartenstein for 2 years, $18 million or $16 million, whatever it was. I think it was $8 million a year, right?
He got $8 million a year. You assume Bulls probably would have, maybe Bulls offer a little more to get him there. Maybe they give him nine or they use like the full. At this point, you could use the full mid-level on Hartenstein and sign Dragic as your backup. And there's, absolutely. There's your team. And I think still they would have had, I think they still would have had room under the hard cap to bring back Derek Jones if they really wanted to. But in that case, you can consider, you give Hartenstein the full mid-level, you sign Dragic to a minimum, and you sign someone else, maybe like a shooter to the minimum. You sign Melo to the minimum. And like, I feel like I would feel like a lot, at least a little more, like happy with that they take a chance on a young guy. They're in the tax going up to the hard cap. They add a shooter and a guy like Melo. You still have Dragic. Still wouldn't be my first choice, but if you really want veteran backup point guard or something like that, whatever. I think they could have done all that under the hard cap. And as of right now, they are not hard cap because I don't think they've used enough of the mid-level to actually get there. Again, maybe this is me just trying to be optimistic, like whatever, they're keeping flexibility open for in-season moves, stuff like that, so that they're not hard cap. But I mean, at this point, again, that could be wishful thinking, but yeah, I mean, it seems like, I mean, there was the Gallo stuff where they tried to seem like they wanted to try to split Gallo and Drummond on the mid-level. And it just seemed like, yeah, once they just really didn't have much of a plan after Gallo left, who knows how, I guess I do question like how serious Gallo was like in terms of like versus the Celtics. It seems like he probably would have preferred them the whole time. And as long as the Celtics came up and gave him what he wanted, that he was always going there. So like, how serious were the Bulls ever in that mix? Like clearly they were kind of in the mix, but like, was he ever actually really going to go there, or were they just leverage? I don't know. But yeah, I mean, at this point in the offseason, you'd rather give probably have most of that mid-level to a younger guy with more upside. He could still make some of these minimum moves perhaps as well. I mean, even Drummond.
Okay, like a couple of points I want to make.
Yeah, go
on. Dragic can't defend anymore. So right. Don't call Dragic a Lonzo replacement.
Yeah,
Lonzo,
that too. Yeah. Yes.
Best or second best defensive player. So no, Dragic is not a Lonzo replacement. Who could be a Lonzo replacement? Maybe Dalen Terry. Now, I don't think Dalen Terry is really ready to contribute as a rookie for a team that, you know, hopes to be, I guess, realistically, the number five seed in the East. That's the extent of the Bulls' ambitions this offseason, apparently. But, you know, he has the tools, Terry does, or even Io does, to potentially be a Lonzo replacement.
Yeah.
Again, if Lonzo doesn't play 65 games,
the Bulls are cooked. Yeah.
They're absolutely crushed because Lonzo is the guy who makes everything work, really.
The connector. Because
he starts their transition game, and he's the best or second best shooter on the team. Him and Levine. So they definitely need Lonzo to be a major factor and to be healthy really this season. And Dragic in no way replaces what you would lose in Lonzo being too injured to play. So the idea that Dragic is Lonzo insurance is just total bullshit. And then as a shooter, I mean, last year Dragic shot 25% from three. Now, before that, every year he's been about a 37% three-point shooter.
Not average.
Volume, which is good, but if he can't defend, it doesn't really help you. If he's going to be a massive defensive liability, at that point, if you're going to get a shooter who sucks at defense, like Melo's a better shooter and he's bigger. Like at least get someone who's bigger. And this Melo idea sucks. It's not like I'm clamoring for them to sign Carmelo Anthony. It's just like, can you get a shooter on the team? They're going to have the least amount of shooting in the entire NBA next season out of the teams that are actually trying to win. it sure seems like they already finished 30th in 3-point rate last season. Yeah, they were pretty good in terms of 3-point percentage. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I want to say they were like 6th or 7th in 3-point percentage.
Yeah, they were pretty high
last year, but part of the reason,
and that's LaVine and Zach, that's
so high. Yeah. Part of the reason that number is so high,
Lonzo and Zach,
they're not taking difficult looks. Like, they're turning down any somewhat contested look and moving the ball into a more difficult shot. So how you just totally ignore shooting this offseason, I think, is completely fucking ridiculous. And then in terms of Drummond, it's just like, it's a signing that gives you no versatility, which is why it's so disappointing. Like, Drummond can do what Vooch does in terms of being like a groundbound big man who can't clean up anyone's mistakes, but like, he's not going to make plays above the rim as a rim protector. He's not going to be like a lob catcher, what this team could really use, I think, like a more athletic, bouncy center. Maybe you got that in Derek Jones, but without, you know, with Derek Jones at center, can you rebound enough is the other question. So I really don't like this Dragic move. I think it's stupid, and I hope I'm wrong, obviously. And anyone who has followed my work, you know that I'm always willing to take my outs when I'm wrong. So hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully Dragic's got something left in the tank. Hopefully they make a trade. And I would love to see a trade before the season. The problem is that the Bulls are treating the luxury tax line like a hard cap. Now, of course, you could go over the luxury tax to start the season. And then if you shamefully decide that you, you know, need to get your Warriors tax dividend, you can ship someone off to get under the tax line. Now, I think that they definitely need to make a trade, unless Dragic's going to ride the bench. Like, I would for sure play Kobe over Dragic. To me, I understand, you know, the frustrations with Kobe and how he's developed over the last few years. I think the Bulls' inability to develop young players, like, plays a major role in that, but at least Kobe's got some more upside than Dragic. Dragic is just like, he's an old man who's going to be either the last or second to last contract in the NBA that he's getting. And, you know, I would love to see them try to move off Kobe for a bigger wing.
Yeah, if you can get value there, for
sure. Kobe's a good shooter. Like, they have no shooting. Kobe's their third best shooter right now. I just feel like these lineups don't make sense. Like, Io and
Terry
are really duplicative. Javonte Green and Derek Jones are really duplicative. Vooch and Drummond are really duplicative. It's like, there's not a lot of versatility in terms
of... And Bradley. I mean, Bradley and Drummond are...
And Marco and Bradley really do nothing. Like, Bradley probably still deserves to be in the league because he's a decent rim protector. But on this roster, when you got Vooch and Andre Drummond, he's giving you nothing. Yeah. He's just wasting a roster.
No reason he should be there.
So it's just fucking small-minded bullshit from the Bulls. It really is. Like, Kevin said it on the live episode, and I was thinking it before Kevin said it, but we got to give him credit for it because I'm glad he led with it in terms of his statements on that podcast. But he said, you know, it just seems like Karnišovas had a mandate to get the Bulls back to the playoffs and not go into the luxury tax. And the Bulls seem pretty content with being a first or second round team. They're definitely not trying to win the championship this year, right? And that sucks. Like, try to win the championship because you moved off your 23 and 25 first round draft picks because DeRozan is on a really team friendly contract. Even though when he signed it, everyone called him, you know, the most overrated or overpaid player in the league. He's 33. He's on a team friendly contract. Like, do everything you can to at least give yourself a chance to have some upside, to make a run at the championship. Man, I don't know if Mo Bamba's any good, but Mo Bamba signed for 2 years, $21 million. The Bulls could have matched that contract. They could have gone 3 years, you know, $31.5 million or whatever, using the mid-level exception. And at least Bamba would have some upside. And at least he was young, and at least he had rim protection and shooting. And even if he wasn't a great player and it was no sure thing for him to meaningfully improve the Bulls, the fact that they didn't even fucking try to meaningfully improve.
And also, and that's
going to be so fucking insulting. And Reinsdorf, fuck you. You should not deserve to get the Clippers and the Warriors tax money. Like, try to make the team better. Why is he treating the luxury tax line like the hard cap? It is so infuriating. It's like the Bulls, they just have small ambitions, man.
Another point about just like whatever, a Bamba, whatever, $9 or $10 million deal again, that you could use that in trades. And even if like he's not great, like that's just another trade chip where if you want to look to make a bigger trade or you bring in a bigger contract for a possibly a better player, Mo Bamba's contract would probably be a lot better to put in a trade than again, Drummond, $3-4 million a year. I mean, like that's just not doing anything for you.
Jared now, Jones with Jr. that being said, I'm excited to watch the Bulls next season. I think this offseason totally sucks and I'm pissed about it. Major Garpax vibes all the way around. But I'm so excited to watch the team. I think the team could be pretty good.
Yeah.
I think
we don't want to be total doom and gloom here. They still have talent. They still have two of the best wing scorers in the NBA. Lonzo, for hope the fucking God he is okay, gets healthy. Caruso is awesome to watch. If Derrick Jones Jr. does play, now that he's back, he throws down sick dunks. It hopefully will be fun to watch Pat. Hopefully he will take some type of leap and that we don't get too frustrated by him. It'll be unfortunate. Like if Pat like does not take the leap and then people just and people turn on him, but like this is going to be the year for him, man. But like there is potential here for this team to be pretty good. I would peg them to be around where they were last season in the mid 40s in wins. Again, that would be, I don't want to say it's disappointing considering that's where they were last year and where they were two thirds of the way through the year last year. If they just basically have the same season and then go out in the first round again, I would probably say that would be disappointing because that's when you start getting into the, are they just spinning their wheels in the middle here? But obviously they still have some really good players here. Zach being back and hopefully healthy will be good. Like I said, hopefully their health will be better. That's riding a lot on that. Because they just haven't added that much to the roster. We know they don't have a top of the line guy, which makes the margin for error smaller. DeMar, you're going to have to hope that he is a magician again in crunch time. And I do think DeMar should age decently well. He's such a master of his craft with his footwork. And I don't think like he's all of a sudden going to fall off a cliff here. But he's only, what is DeMar, 33, 34 now? Like, he should still have a few good years left. I know he's not good defensively, but offensively, with his bag, he should still be able to be good. Will he be as good as he was this past season in crunch time when he was just entering the DeMar zone every night and shooting, like, 60% in crunch time and seeming to hitting game winners? Like, I don't know. We'll see. And if he's not quite as good, even a step or two down, that could be the difference between the Bulls being the 5 or 6 seed and a play-in team. So, like, I just feel like, yeah, this offseason just makes the margin for error smaller. They still have to just like they need to stay healthy. And we'll see. I don't know. Yeah, it's disappointing. Like I said, I don't want to say this is a bad offseason. It's just a disappointing one and one I would still consider unacceptable, even if it's not bad, just because of the money stuff, that kind of stuff.
I'll say it's bad. It sucks. They had a $10.5 million mid-level exception and they chose not to use it because they didn't want to pay the luxury tax.
Yeah, I'm trying to hedge here. It's just like it is. I don't know how I can call it unacceptable to not be bad.
In my opinion, it's bad.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs.
Twice a week, J.J. Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so a couple things. One, I still think they could realistically be the five seed. And I think that their closing lineup potentially could be really dope. That would be Vooch or Pat at center. You got DeMar, you got Zach, you got Caruso, you got Lonzo. Now, Lonzo's health, as I said earlier, I really think is the key to the whole thing. The team just looks so much more cohesive with him on the floor.
And the vibes so much better.
Because he's able to actually shoot threes at volume, because he is so versatile and so impactful defensively. He can take on so many different assignments with some guard, you know, Julius Randle or like other better front court guys last year. We saw him defend guards. He's so good off the ball in terms of just getting him into the fast break game. So they obviously need Lonzo. And then, you know, Caruso, you just hope that like Caruso, when he was on the Lakers, was playing about 15 minutes a game, playing like an absolute maniac for those 15 minutes a game and being super impactful. Okay, now can Caruso still play like Caruso, but play 30 minutes a game and be realistically counted on to play 75 games a year and then be awesome in the playoffs? Like, is his style of play being so reliant on motor and hustle? Like, can he actually stay healthy playing that way? I think is a big question. But Caruso's awesome. Signing him was one of Karnišovas's best moves.
Absolutely.
And I think that that starting five is still, or closing five, we'll say, still has the potential to be really good.
Yeah.
I'm jacked up about Patrick Williams this year. Now, I would have traded him to maximize this window, but I think this has to be the year for Patrick Williams.
Yep.
And it's going to be a big test on Billy Donovan to find a way to get Patrick Williams to be more involved in the offense. I've got the numbers right here. So Patrick Williams' usage rate over the last couple seasons, last year, 14.2%. Think about 20 is average, because it would be like 100 divided by five for players on the floor. So like a 20 usage rate is average. He was 14.2% last year. In the playoffs, he was 16.9%. He's got to be a 20% usage guy this year, an absolute minimum. I threw it on the last episode. You know, the dude's averaged 9 points a game every year of his career. Could we get 15 out of Pat? To me, the only way that happens, it's not Pat has to be more aggressive. Well, that's part of it, but it's
part of it.
It seems so reductive to me to say Pat has to be more aggressive and that's what's going to make or break his career. It's also like they got to put him in a position to succeed. And Donovan trying to treat him like he's Mikal Bridges, I've been saying on this podcast for a year, is just not the best way to utilize his talents. The weakest part of his game is his catch and shoot ability. So like, let him create a little bit with the ball in his hands. We saw what he could do in the last regular season game of the year against the Timberwolves. Obviously, that was against the Timberwolves JV squad. But Pat looked really good driving to the basket, making decisions as a passer, and running some pick and rolls, you know, playing on the ball. So they got to find a way to basically leverage Pat and Zach lineups, and then DeMar with, you know, Lonzo, Caruso, and Vooch. So I think like you definitely have more ability, I think, with Zach and Pat. I want to see Dalen Terry in those lineups. Of course, you want Lonzo in every lineup because they all fall apart without Lonzo. But I do think they can do some pretty interesting things lineup wise. I like Donovan as a coach. I really want to see him take it upon himself to try to revitalize Patrick Williams' career.
Yeah,
because the team obviously has a ton on Pat's shoulders. If Pat can, you know, take the next step in his career and at least be an average NBA starting wing, about as impactful as, you know, KCP, Kyle Kuzma, I don't know, some of these guys, just like be solid. You don't need to be Kawhi Leonard yet, but like be an average starting wing. That would be huge for the Bulls.
Yeah.
They have so much riding on it. And to me, it's not a great bet, but it's still pretty exciting to like watch Pat, and hopefully he can stay healthy. It's another reason why I'm excited about the team this year, even though I'm disgusted by the offseason. Let's see it, Pat. Like, Pat's a cool young player, right? Just because I would have moved him doesn't mean I'm not super excited to watch him on the team.
They clearly think highly of him.
Yeah. So like, let's see it, Pat.
Yeah. And I will say, like, in terms of the health stuff, like, obviously, like, that's why, like, him getting hurt last year at the start of last year was just such a problem. Because it hindered any of that development. Like, the development, maybe they would have tried it if he didn't get hurt. Maybe they would have tried giving him more on ball reps, but he gets hurt. He misses almost the entire season. And then he comes back as the team is tail spinning and heading into a playoff run. And like, him coming back from that weird injury, it would have been really tough to like work him in slowly while also giving him these on ball reps while you're basically preparing for the playoffs. Like, that's a really tough needle to thread. I get why it didn't happen. And that's why this year it's got to happen. I know he's really young still. And like, you don't want to like totally rush a guy. Like, I'm not going to call him a bust, like, if he doesn't take a big leap this season, but like, when you're trying to win games now, these guys' timelines get sped up, and we see young players make big impacts all across the league. I mean, again, the Timberwolves are making this bet on Rudy Gobert because Anthony Edwards, going into year three, could be an all-star level player. And he looked really good last season. Scotty Barnes looked incredible. Florida State guy looked incredible as a rookie, and Raptors fans don't want to include him in Kevin Durant trade offers because like, he looked so damn good and like, people are so high on him. Patrick Williams just hasn't really shown that kind of pop at all yet, outside of a few flashes. So if he stays healthy, this has got to be the year where he has to step forward into making a more consistent impact. Even though he doesn't have to be a most improved guy or an all-star level guy or anything like that, but they're not going to trade him. And he's going to be here, and they have so much faith in him. He's got to be, like you said, an average starter, maybe a slightly above average starter this season. Or it's just going to be like, his value will go down. And then if he's just another guy, I mean, we saw this play out with Lowry. It's kind of playing out with Kobe right now. If he just turns into another guy, it's just like the Bulls. It's another setback for this Bulls team trying to take that next step into championship contention.
Yeah, man. So I'm still excited to watch the team.
Yeah, we did.
Like, you know, I'm totally fine with a team that's just like consistently pretty good. But what sort of sucks about that is that you used your assets to build this team in terms of your 23 and 25 first round pick. I think in the next three drafts, our boy Brian Schroeder said this, they have one pick, first or second round, in the next three drafts. They got one freaking pick. That's not counting the Blazers pick, which, please trade the Blazers pick, please. And this is the last point I wanted to make. I wrote about Victor Wembanyama. I wrote my 2023 mock draft. Wembanyama, I called him the best prospect since LeBron. That doesn't mean he's going to be the best player since LeBron, but just like, in terms of what you look for in a basketball prospect, this guy's got it all. He might be 7'5", rips threes, guards on the perimeter, awesome shot blocker, awesome lob catcher. Seems like he has a strong feel for the game, can pass. Okay, so half the league is probably going to be tanking and tearing it down for a shot at Victor midseason. I wish I could count on the Bulls to acquire a good piece. Maybe someone like Kuzma's available at that point for the Portland pick and for Kobe, right? Or like some sort of package like that, throwing Tony Bradley, throwing whatever.
Yeah, the Wizards got a logjam.
Like, they're not going to be willing to add salary because they are currently right at the luxury tax line. They do not want to pay the luxury tax. They want the Clippers and the Warriors money because they are real franchises who are trying to win in a big market. The Bulls are a fake, shitty fucking franchise that only tries to make the first round so he can get some extra gate revenue. And then they want a fat check from the Warriors, from the Celtics, from the Clippers for actually trying to win the championship. So what the Bulls should do, they still have plenty of avenues to improve the team. They got this trade exception, as you mentioned. They can make a move with Kobe. They can put together some contracts. And I think good players are going to be available near the trade deadline. So if the Bulls actually want to do something at the trade deadline this year, unlike last year when they just sat on their hands and watched everyone else around them improve the team, they're going to have the opportunity to do it. But now this is the second time, Jace, where they had an opportunity to get better and they chose not to.
Right.
They
didn't
do it at the trade deadline, in part because they didn't want to add money. They didn't do it, you know, this offseason, in part because they were treating the luxury tax line like a hard cap.
I think, so, yeah.
the team is still fun. I think the teams could still be pretty good, but I find this offseason to be just so, so disappointing.
Yeah, I think the problem
is Jerry Reinsdorf,
yeah.
You suck, dude. Like, you're a bad owner. You just suck. And don't show your face in Chicago.
The point about the last trade deadline, I think, is important too, because the fact that they did nothing then and have done very little now is just, I mean, that's too straight, just like main, whatever, just timelines of player movement, the big player movement stuff. But there's nothing happened. Going back to last offseason, they make the three big moves within the first, whatever, 2-3 days of free agency, where they get Lonzo, Caruso, DeMar within, I think, literally the first 2 days. Since they brought in DeMar, I mean, obviously they made the Lowry thing, but the Lowry, I mean, you could argue like if that was the right move, what they did with Lowry, they took Derek Jones Jr. and then the first round pick instead of maybe taking on Larry Nance or maybe doing something else with that. And now whatever, they have this Blazers pick, they do bring Derek Jones Jr. back on this cheap deal. But I mean, they could have used his salary was what, $9 million last year. Could have used his salary. They had Troy Brown Jr., his salary. They had this Daniel Tice trade exception the entire time. Avenues to make possible moves on the even if it's just on the margins. That kind of stuff can end up making a difference. Obviously, we do know the Bulls still need, they don't have that superstar player. And maybe if you want to argue that none of this actually matters until they get somebody that's like a legit, whatever, top player, whatever. But like, they need to take steps towards maybe getting that player. And it just seems like they haven't done that since they got DeMar DeRozan. Or that they haven't done,
like, just give yourself a chance to have to be better.
Yes.
And they're like not even interested in giving themselves the chance.
Yeah. It just feels like, yeah, just not feel like they've taken enough of a step forward. Again, they made these couple moves here in a vacuum. They're like marginal upgrades on some of the bums they had on the back of their bench last year. But like, fine. But that's like not that great. That's that margin. Maybe that marginal. What that marginal upgrade will give you like one more win in the first round or like two. They just have not taken enough meaningful steps forward since they traded for DeMar since they got DeMar. So now they're just banking on Patrick Williams, banking on better health. You hope they do in season. If there are teams tanking for Wemby, and if there's guys available from those teams or from other teams just don't have good seasons. They want to get rid of expiring contracts or something. Kuzma is a great example. The Wizards have a log jam at forward. Kuzma's an expiring. Maybe you can get a guy like that. And Kuzma's a really good player. I mean, if Patrick Williams ever becomes around a Kyle Kuzma level, like that's a pretty good outcome for him. So like they need to, like, so this is two straight times now, or it seems like they've done nothing. Maybe they do something. Maybe they do surprises here. Obviously we got the KD stuff still going on. The Bulls are not getting Kevin Durant. I mean, maybe they still somehow get in on DeAndre Ayton. They try to go after that. I certainly would not be counting on that at this point, but maybe they surprise us and do something big with Ayton or any of these other moves we kind of talked about last time too. But if not, they better be ready to make moves at the trade deadline as well and use these assets. Obviously the Tice exception will be gone by then, but like if they have some contracts they can move, they have this Blazers pick. Yeah, they just got to, they got to do something. If they go three like times in a row there, making no meaningful moves, but between a deadline and offseason and another deadline. I mean, that's just like totally unacceptable. I mean, what they've done right now, I would consider mostly unacceptable. So hopefully.
And I blame Reinsdorf, but Karnišovas, the first thing I said when he got hired, his main objective has to
sell
be
yourself.
Advocating for himself.
Yeah. Right.
So, I mean, Karnišovas should have told Jerry Reinsdorf to get fucked if he wasn't going to let him the level exception. Like, this guy used future draft picks to try to improve the roster, to go from a terrible roster left by guard packs to a playoff team in 1 year. That was really admirable. He made a lot of good moves. But, like, try to take the next step, and they're not even trying.
Yeah, it definitely is just kind of just not inspiring. It's a bummer. It's disappointing. But, again, we do want to – reiterate that we still think this Bulls team should be pretty good and pretty fun.
I'm excited to watch them. I really am. Even though I'm pissed right now, I'm excited to watch the team. And I just really hope Lonzo's healthy. Because if Lonzo's healthy, they're going to be super fun to watch.
For sure. Do you have any thoughts on this, the Kevin Durant, Kyrie stuff? We could touch on it real quick here. It's being kind of held up. The Nets are obviously, they're in no rush to make a big trade. I mean, they want to get the best offer they can get on the table. The Kyrie situation seems like it's either the Lakers or bust, but who knows? I just assume he's going to end up in the Lakers at some point. The Lakers are desperate. They want to get off Russ. I think the Lakers have a couple picks they can attach. maybe this ends up being like a crazy, like huge transaction that involves both guys and that involves like a bunch of different teams. Like I said, we'll see what happens with Ayton. If he goes to either the Nets or if he goes somewhere else entirely. I know Jake Fisher brought that up. I guess ultimately, where, do you think KD will end up in Phoenix, which is seemingly where he wants to go?
What scares me about that is that the Suns have a terrible owner. In teams with terrible owners, like the Bulls and the Suns, it's like they tend to just get in the way of what shouldn't be so difficult. So I think it's a really hard trade for Brooklyn to make, obviously. Yeah. I think the best thing to do is to somehow get Brooklyn Donovan Mitchell. And if that can happen and Brooklyn can get something like Donovan Mitchell, Mikal Bridges, maybe Miles Turner, DeAndre Ayton goes to the Pacers, the Jazz just get picks. Like the Jazz, I just can't see the Jazz having Mitchell on that roster next year because that roster's a joke. And like you might as well maximize Mitchell's trade value now and just get all the picks. Like I just don't see what the Jazz are doing by keeping Mitchell on that roster. I would say there's no way Mitchell's on that roster. He shouldn't be past the trade deadline. Like that would be ridiculous. So they should just move off Mitchell. I think Mitchell to Brooklyn makes
tank
a lot
for
of
Wemby,
sense.
Baby. Tank for. I mean, might as well. You just got a shit ton of picks for Gobert, way more than I think anyone has ever dreamed that they would get. So why not trade Mitchell for even more? You tank and maybe you get Wemby or you get another French
and whatever. Just you know, trade high on Mitchell. I think, like, if you could get four more first-round picks or whatever, like, Brooklyn doesn't want picks. They want players, it seems like. Now, the report I heard was that the Nets want at least three first-round picks.
And, like, an all-star.
And a young star. Yeah. Like, a young, you know, going to be an all-star every year type. So, like, Donovan Mitchell is one of those guys. I think the only way this thing goes down is if they can somehow agree to, like, a big – ridiculous five-team deal that sends Kyrie to the Lakers, maybe Durant to the Suns, Ayton to the Pacers, Donovan Mitchell, Mikal Bridges, Miles Turner to the Nets. And if that doesn't happen, then it's like, okay, are the Raptors going to include Scottie Barnes?
Raptors, right. Yeah. We're definitely getting some Raptors noise hype. I think the betting markets have been kind of trending towards Raptors the last couple days. And like Woj brought it up today. And yeah, that might be Scottie Barnes, like if they put him on the table, like I mean, I wonder like what it would take for the Nets to say, like what Barnes,
Gary Trent, and three first rounders.
Would that be enough? Do you think they would trade like I don't think they wouldn't trade Barnes and OG, I'm assuming, but like
if you're Toronto, Jace, would you do Barnes and
Siakam or Trent? Probably. Like Barnes is obviously awesome. Like he had a great rookie season, but like it's Kevin Durant. Like Durant. If you have Durant, Fred, Siakam, and what OG still left over, I mean, you're right there as a contender in the Eastern Conference for sure for a title, right? Fred, you got to fill out your roster, but Fred, OG, Siakam, KD, maybe you need to get whatever a center or something, or Siakam just plays center. I mean, yeah, absolutely. I know Raptors fans love Barnes. They do not want to trade Barnes in this trade, but like, dude, it's fucking Kevin Durant, man. Like, Kevin Durant's still one of the top three players. You could argue he's the best. I would not probably put him over Giannis at this point, but like still one of the best players in the world. And he's 33. I know he's had injury problems, but like he's probably still got 3 to 4 high level years left. With that core there, you're in title contention for the next several seasons. Right now, the Raptors are like a feisty, fun team. And I guess maybe if Scottie Barnes actually did like ascend to like all-star superstar status, they could still have that anyways if they keep him. But like Kevin Durant, if he's healthy, is guaranteeing you that for the next few seasons. So like, I know people hate trading young players. We've gone through that with the Patrick Williams stuff. You always like, you see these guys, and especially when Barnes was so good as a rookie, you assume that development just going to be on the way up and that they're going to turn into a star player and like nothing is going to get in their way. Kevin Durant, you know, is a superstar, one of the best players of all time, still one of the best players in the league. I would do that. Obviously, you start maybe if they're asking again, if it's like Barnes and OG, Barnes and Siakam, like then you maybe start being like, all right, that's a bit much. But like if it was just Barnes, Trent, and picks, I mean, I think that's a no-brainer. I mean, you're trading for Kevin Durant. The Nets would have no reason to not trade or to accept anything less, I guess. Like I don't even know if they would take Barnes, Trent, and those draft picks because unless they would want a more established guy like Siakam. Or OG in there too. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see, man. I think it's going to drag out.
Yeah. So, but what, like, what about the Pelicans? Like, do you think they should get in something like that at all? Like, should they offer like Ingram? Like, I don't know if KD, if they would worry about KD not wanting to be there, but like, do you trade offer like Ingram? And I mean, they have a boatload of picks from the Jrue Holiday thing. Like, would you do that?
You got to know that KD wants to be there. I think.
Right.
Like, does Zion even want to be there? He just signed the contract.
Right. But like, you never know. I mean, I'm assuming if KD was traded there and like, and KD was in, Zion would also be in, like, to exam. That'd be a really damn good team. Zion, if you have Zion, healthy KD, Zion, McCollum, if they'd still have Jonas, I don't know. I mean, that's another really damn good team. So I don't know. Definitely interesting. The Nets have every reason to whatever, play this out and hold this out. They don't have to rush into a trade that we're talking again. This is such a unique situation. One of the best players of all time with 4 years left on his contract. It's not like this is a situation where he's got 1 or 2 years left. He's got like a full extension left here. So it'll be fascinating to see how that plays out. But again, KD actually wanted to go to the Bulls. I know we have dreamed about that being a possibility, but does not seem like the Bulls will be in on this. KD doesn't really want to go there. I mean, the Bulls could, what, if you're the Bulls, you offer what, DeMar, Pat, and then whatever picks that they
have. I think you give them Pat, Lonzo, Vooch.
You don't think they'd want DeMar? We talk about them. I know they want young all-star, but like, if they want to be competitive, like, I mean, DeMar will keep them competitive for a bit.
Yeah.
So like, I don't, either way, it's not happening. He's not coming to the Bulls. If he does come to the Bulls, I will gladly take the L. Cold take myself, and it'd be awesome if KD was on the Bulls, but that's not gonna happen. I think that was basic. I think we touched on basically everything here. That went a little longer than I thought. Yeah, had to get some rants off our chest here. You got anything else here? Anything that's happened? It's been pretty quiet again with the KD situation. It's been kind of holding everything up. We saw TJ Warren go off the board to the Nets. Interesting that we talked about him as a Bulls target. TJ Warren went to the Nets. Like Serge Ibaka went back to the Bucks. And that's basically been most of, like, and then the Roby Spurs thing. Just hasn't been a lot going on here in the NBA after that initial rush. And now we're just kind of waiting on KD, and like the Aiden situation seems like it's being held up because of that as well. Obviously, the Gobert trade was last week. So now it's just kind of like we're waiting around for something to happen, but it's just kind of dead right now.
Yeah.
So I think that's about it. Should we wrap it up here?
Wrap it up.
All right. Obviously, I guess we should address this just very briefly. Obviously, it hits very close to home, the mass shooting in Highland Park, Illinois, yesterday on 4th of July. I mean, that's like, what, half an hour away from both of us. I live in the burbs. My, like, 4th of July, I live in Mount Prospect. 4th of July parade was canceled here. And obviously so many others. And just like, I believe I saw a seventh person was died from that. And just awful, obviously, just being so, like I said, close to home. I think it was Kevin Fishbane, who I think is a Bears guy, had just a brutal tweet thread because he was there and he was part of that. And it was just really off the read. I know it was just I was with my wife's family yesterday. I know my wife, just like, we were reading about all this stuff, and it was brutal. It was terrible. Obviously just more reason for things to change on the front, the gun front. I will never understand the gun thing. They really need to. I know our guy, JB Pritzker, the big boy who's come out, he's always been really strong with this stuff. And he's been put out some good stuff yesterday. He had really good speech, strong stuff. So hopefully things will change on that front. It was really tough to read that. Obviously brought the 4th of July down. Just really scary stuff being so close to where we live. So, Ricky, if you want anything to say about that.
I mean, just like,
yeah,
fucking disgusting and horrifying and the worst thing ever. And if it could happen in Highland Park, it's like, I grew up in Orland Park. It could happen in Orland Park. My sister lives in Naperville. It could happen in Naperville. It's not that it can happen anywhere. It's that it is happening everywhere, even in these super wealthy, affluent suburbs like Highland Park. So just ban the fucking assault weapons. Like, I just, that any politician who is fighting against banning assault weapons and who's lining their pockets with NRA blood money, just fuck you. Like, what are you even doing? Ban these assault weapons. Totally insane. And then, I don't know, man. It's so heartbreaking, so sad.
Yeah, and I saw the brutal story.
Like, yeah. Things just keep getting worse and worse. Yeah. And I had another point I wanted to make, but I can't remember it now.
I say I saw the weapons, man. I know I saw another brutal story about the, like the 2-year-old kid who like got lost. The kid's parents were like two of the ones who died. Just absolutely like gut wrenching stuff. Absolutely brutal.
Yeah, again, and like here's the other thing. Like I don't know if you got this when you lived in the city. I'll get it from like some family members and stuff. Obviously, you hear it in the national media all the time. Chicago's so unsafe. How can you live in Chicago? I've lived in Chicago since 2007. I have never felt unsafe in the city of Chicago. I saw this tweet yesterday, though, from a woman who said, I don't feel unsafe in Chicago, but I do feel unsafe in the United States. And given everything that's happened this summer with the Supreme Court, with the mass shootings just running up the score, seems like every month there's a few more. There was another one in Philadelphia, you know, the same day the Highland Park shit happened. And it's not like, I just hate how the world's worst politicians act like Chicago gun violence is so out of control in that living in Chicago is so unsafe. Chicago's a beautiful, clean city. It's one of the best cities in this country. There is violence here, but it's not the type of violence where someone's going and shooting up a grocery store to kill a bunch of grandmas. It's not the type of violence where someone's going into a school and shooting up a bunch of second graders. It's not the type of violence where someone's shooting up a parade. It's still very sad, the type of violence there is in Chicago.
And there are a lot of people who are trying to make it better. But like the people who bring it up all the time, they have no interest in making it better.
Keep Chicago out of your mouth when you're talking about gun violence, because if it can happen in Highland Park, it can happen anywhere. And I've never felt unsafe in Chicago. I've been here for so long, Jace. And I'm the type of person who's like, I don't have a car. I walk home from the bars drunk by myself at 1 a.m. I've been doing that for 10 years. I'm not saying nothing can happen, but I'm saying like Chicago's not an unsafe place to live. If you're, you know, out of the neighborhoods where the violence occurs. So I don't know. It's just so fucking disgusting. And our politicians are worthless. I mean, that's just what it comes down to. Ban these assault weapons. It's a no-brainer. The politicians take money from the NRA and it's disgusting. And it makes it hard to think about anything else. Fortunately, we can still be mad at Jerry Reinsdorf, even when it feels like society is collapsing all around us.
Yeah. And on that note, we're going to wrap it up here. It's been Cash Considerations, the Chicago Bulls podcast. We will obviously see. Obviously, it's hard to go back from that kind of stuff to talking basketball, but we will see what happens. If there's anything that happens here with the Bulls coming up here this week, we will, and whenever, as free agency goes along here, as we wait for the KD stuff, we will be back to talk about it here. But for right now, obviously, we're just kind of in the wait and see mode. So, as always, shout out to the Blue Wire Network, please, with free agency going on, with the stuff that has happened, great content, NBA content all across the Blue Wire Network, and with all the other, all across network as well, with all other podcasts for us here at Cash. Please rate and review us. Give us those 5-star ratings. That helps us out. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, all those places. You can follow me on Twitter at @Bulls_J. You can follow Ricky at @SBN_Ricky. Shout out to Fuzzgun for our new intro this past season. This is great stuff. Check out SoundCloud. So, some Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. We will talk to you guys next time. Take it easy.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you.
That's UNIFYDHealing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.